I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to I Like Beer, the podcast, where we discuss great beers and the stories that go with them. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Jeff.
And we're finishing up a trip.
Yep. Another one.
Happy and sad, right?
Always. Oh, it's always a mixed blessing, yes. Because what an amazing trip this has been.
We're friends who love good beer, telling stories, so we turned it into a podcast.
All right. And like I said, today I think we're a podcast we're going to try and do justice for this to this trip. Because I think this trip has had some extreme highs and not too many lows. So that's pretty
it's
solid.
It's a tip of the hat all the way.
It's been a solid trip.
Teachers by day, beer drinkers by night, and beer run guys when we need to go find other places. Yeah. We're lucky enough to live in North County, San Diego, which is a beer mecca. But we found a new one here in Austin. If you've been listening the last 2 or 3 weeks, you've heard from some amazing people with amazing stories and, of course, amazing beer, or we wouldn't have shown up there. So please pour yourself a beer, pull up a bar stool, join us.
Hey, y'all. I really like beer, and you should buy me a beer. So you go to ilikebeerthepodcast.com and click on Buy Me a Beer. Thanks.
Thanks. That's Buy Me a Beer. Click the link on the website. When you do, you support our podcast. And you help us keep doing this, which is pretty darn amazing.
Extremely amazing.
ilikebeerthepodcast.com. And you can see pictures in the gallery. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram as well. We've been posting pictures and reels and all the other stuff you're supposed to do all along this trip. And I think we need to get a TRP in for this.
Let's do it. I'm going to start off, actually, because speaking of the reels, Haley, I'm going to give a toast to Haley because, man, those reels are incredible. I'm part of them and I'm enjoying watching them. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Oh wait, that is me. So great job, Haley. Cheers to you.
So we got a drink in hand. It's time for toast, roast, pour one out. And we started with Haley. I'm going to toast here for things Texas and Texas beer. I'm going to text space.
Oh,
not, we went for the eclipse,
right?
But not that kind of space.
No.
And you told me this. You told me. Oh, they have so much space at every brewery. I didn't really recognize what that meant.
Right.
Where you could walk, you seriously could walk a mile to their event center and you're still on premises. And there's a scan code if you need a beer, we'll get it ready for you.
Well, I think it's funny because you have the cliche that everything's bigger in Texas. And I mean, start with the breweries, because they did. It is space. And it's, you know, they're fortunate in that way. And they make good use of the space too, which is cool.
Oh, dog friendly, family friendly.
Yeah.
And I found that lots of little kids running around a brewery when there's 5 or 6 acres.
Yes. Not a big deal.
Perfectly so. Yeah,
not as annoying as it is
as some of the places. Be.
As some of the places here.
But of course, hospitality. Thank you. Toast to all the brewers, brew team members.
Beer tenders, everyone.
That welcomed us in, shared their beers, shared their stories. We've been able to give you a lot of that here on the podcast and more of it in pictures on Instagram. So, you know, thanks to toast to everybody.
Yeah. No, I think what's really cool too, even the people that were at the breweries, once you started talking to them, they're like, have you gone here? Or you need to go here? So, and that's very similar to a lot of places we do. So people that drink beer are just pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's I think what we kind of found. And no matter where you go.
And, you know, some highlights, you'd tease Jester King and it met everything you teased. Pine House, we had met with those guys. I already knew it was going to be awesome because we had met them here at Version. All that, but the one that just kind of hit me out of nowhere was Allstadt.
I agree, because I've only driven by it. So
it was like driving up to a Bavarian castle.
Yeah.
Talk about sparing no expense. And lucky enough, we were able to sit down and talk to the Allstadt folks a little bit. Let's hear some of that. All right, so pulling into this place was special. Allstadt Brewing.
Yeah. When you talk about curb appeal, I mean, honestly, there's very few breweries I think that can beat this place on curb appeal.
Never been in a brewery that even matches it. And we're here with Manny Ramirez, general manager, Allstadt Brewing. Manny, thanks for touring us around.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure.
What a great place. What does it feel? So you have quite a commute, you're telling us, to get in. What does it feel like to pull up to what almost looks like a Bavarian castle every single day you come to work?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that most people that pull up say that they're very intimidated to even drive through the front gates, but we're definitely open to having anybody in here, and you know, I'm very proud to work for this company and the family as well.
Great staff.
Yes. Oh, everybody's been super pleasant, super nice, super friendly, super helpful. So obviously great facility, great beer, great food. Tell us a little bit about the Allstadt story in terms of
the origination story, basically.
Yeah, so it really started off as like a father-son project. The Scripps family, it's a brainchild of Billy and William Scripps. They fell in love with German beer, and they said, why can't we do that back home in Texas?
So they're off on travels abroad and yep. said
whenever they went on vacation, they really fell in love with European beer, specifically German beer, and they wanted to bring that back home. And so they import all the ingredients and started that process here. And then they decided that this is a little bit more than a father-son project, and let's bring in a full staff to help us out with this.
And is that just a brewery?
No. So I'm the general manager of what we call phase two, which is the hospitality side of everything. So the tap room, the restaurant, grand hall, everything else.
So there's almost like you were telling us the steakhouse side of things. There's the brew hall side of things. There's the music here. It's got everything, and everything is top notch. I've never been to a brewery restroom. It's fancy.
Oh, I 100% agree. This is like a top class restaurant. Everything else, and like I said, hosting a huge music festival out in the I guess you call it the field. I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. out behind the brewery, still on the property. So a little bit of something for everybody here.
So true to style German beers yep. with a couple variations for the if someone wants a light lager or a IPA, that's on there, but. What's Manny having when he's not working?
Well, my favorite is the Hefeweizen, and that just won a gold medal at the World Beer Cup last year.
Nice. Congrats.
So that one is definitely the one that I'm going to after a hard day at work.
And I'm having the Schwarz beer, which is a style very hard to find at home, and it's a fantastic one. Yeah. And that's gone out to distribution.
Yeah, so this was the first year that it went out, and it went out to some of the Hill Country markets here, Austin area. Performed really well. I think that the guests are telling us that it is one of the new favorites for sure.
And you own yep. the Irish Red.
Irish Red, story. Which is great. A taproom special, but tell us a little bit about the story of this one.
Irish Red is a taproom exclusive beer, so you can only get it here at the brewery. But that is Craig Rowan's baby there, Craig Rowan being our head brewer. It's an homage to his mom and her Irish heritage. So the full name is Quinlan's Irish Red, and that's based on her maiden name. So it's really near and dear to his heart, for sure.
And all throughout the place, there's Easter eggs, whether it's the beer name or a painting on the wall. There's something in every corner of this place, isn't there?
Yeah. So that's why it's great to come in and have a tour, and somebody can share with you all those little hidden things. There's even things that I don't know. We saw that in the brewery, that there's some Easter eggs that only... Our brewers are privy to the information.
So, coming here, all right, the food's fantastic. The beer's fantastic. What's great about working at Allstat?
Well, we also do private events as well. So I think that us being a brewery of this caliber and then being able to make somebody's dream wedding happen or something to that effect, I think that that's great too. What I think is the best thing is that whether it's a wedding or a normal day of operation, that all of our guests are always leaving pretty happy.
Yeah, 100%. We've been happy the entire time we've been here.
I'm gonna be teary-eyed when we walk out. But I'm walking out with swag. Hopefully some beer.
Yeah. No. Very cool. So, and you kind of alluded to this. What's next for Allstat?
Yeah. So currently we distribute all across the state of Texas, and hopefully that in the future we'll have some expansion and. The long-term goal, of course, is to go nationally. That's going to be the long game plan there. But any kind of expansion outside of state lines would be great. Possibly opening maybe some tap rooms in the future in other parts of the state also, so that you don't have to drive out to Fredericksburg and right. to experience.
But you beer. Should. You should drive out to Fredericksburg.
And you definitely should.
Yeah, and you were just saying, too, that after this festival goes great today, probably live music is going to become much more of a staple, too, as far as... We already heard live music inside the venue, but actually concerts out in the...
Yeah, so every weekend we do live music in that grand hall. Unless if there is a private event scheduled, you can always check on the website to make sure. But we have live music in there every weekend. But if this festival goes well, then we might do festivals maybe quarterly. Who knows, maybe more frequently than that. Mm. But there will definitely be more festivals out there in that lawn as well.
Yeah. I know it's going to go great. And we are in... your favorite room, which is now my favorite room. So we talked about the restaurant end, high-end restaurant. We talked about the beer hall end, which is just a does have that German feel of your every communal, everyone's drinking beer together and listening to music together. But now we're in a special place.
This feels like after work, you're here with the, you know, the people that know.
This or
the
feels
people,
exclusive.
Exclusive, the important people.
Tell us about this room.
Yeah, so this is the Rathskeller. And so this room is downstairs, just underneath the tap room. It's kind of a private type of lounge feel. We always call it the speakeasy.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe that we definitely want to create down here. Dim the lights a little bit, put on some jazz music, and just
have leather chairs, yeah, private bar,
yeah, have wine everybody cellar, hang out and maybe watch a football game on the weekend or something like that.
Very cool.
Well, Manny Ramirez, Allstat Brewing. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing your story, the Allstat story, your beers with us.
Yeah.
What a great time, great place.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a must visit. I mean, we talk about destination breweries, this is a destination brewery.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
So many toasts. We could go on forever with toasts, right?
100 toasts, yes, definitely.
Any roasts?
I don't think you can roast anybody on this. Everything was good. Like I said, from a standpoint of you plan a trip, you hope it plays out the way you planned it. This one, not only hit that, but then we hit gems, right? Yes. We found gems, hidden gems. Like every time you hope you walk in on a gin gem. And I agree with you, Jesper King, all set, but arguably one of the best brewers we found was at the end. So, and that was not even one that was on any of our radar. So that was pretty awesome.
I'll just roast us just to get a roast in there.
Yeah.
We had two long stretches from 2 days in a row of no beer.
That's true.
It's kind of on us.
Too many wineries. Well, we went to two, I think.
Yeah, we went to wineries, but you can go to a brewery, have a flight.
Yeah.
Like something, have a pint. You're in and out 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Apparently a winery takes 5 hours each winery. So we said, oh, we're in for two wineries. And then they're an hour apart.
True.
And then we found ourselves at a music event that didn't serve beer.
Which, that was a rough one. That,
some of it's on us.
Well, I think that's interesting.
I also needed a little dry out time.
So no, I think it was good for the liver and everything else. No, but one thing I didn't, and I made this point many times, probably too many times on the trip, is that you go to pretty much every brewery we went to had wine on their menu. Not one winery had beer on their menu. I think that's a missed opportunity there.
For sure.
Yep.
Let's get off to pours. Well, once again, we have survived an end of the world moment because we were told the eclipse would hit and it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Nope,
we're still here.
Was just fine, as Hemingway wrote, and sun also rises.
The sun also rises.
I suppose he got that from the Bible. He didn't write the Bible, but he wrote it in his novel,
Fair.
The Sun Also Rises. We survived the end of the world as we know it one more time.
Yeah. And I guess for me, I'm just pouring one out for the trip. It's over, and so it's back to reality. But the good news is we got probably an even more monumental trip on the near horizon in terms of we're heading across the pond, as they say. And I cannot wait to go drink some beers in England and Ireland and again, new experiences, meet new people, and you see new places.
We already got a bunch of stuff lined up, so that'll be early June. So happy trails to Texas. This has been Toast Roast. Pour one out. Really, we went for beer, we went for fun, we went because our families do this together, but we did build it around the eclipse.
True.
And we had a plan, laid plans of mice and men, right?
Yeah.
We had a plan, we were going to go back to Jester King and see the eclipse there, which was about an hour away, but we didn't know a million, well, we planned this seven years ago, right?
Yeah.
We didn't know that a million other people were coming to Austin. And there were signs everywhere, don't get on the road, don't travel. And so we found ourselves up by Lake Travis, about 45 minutes to an hour away, but who knows with the traffic,
right?
To get back to Jester King, which had sold out. So we had a little, I won't say panic, but we had to readjust some plans.
True.
And we started scrolling through, and this is where we just found a gym, as you alluded to.
Right.
How lucky were we? It was, what, about 3 minutes, 5 minutes from our
place?
From our place we're staying at. We ran over to, we called over to Lago Vista and asked if they would be willing to have us there. And they were having an event. And once again, massive space.
Right. Yep.
But these guys are doing great stuff.
What a party. What I'll say is I didn't know what I was expecting with the eclipse. And it was awesome. It exceeded, way exceeded. You know, everyone I've been talking to about it says at some point now you need to go experience an eclipse in the path of totality because it'll blow your mind. But how cool it was being at that place with all the people and everybody else that was so into it. So that probably helped the experience as well.
Yeah. We went back for trip.
We stayed there all day.
We went home, took a nap, came right back.
Yeah.
We were there at Maria till late. We shut it down.
Yeah.
8 o'clock at night, but we shut it down.
Yes.
And what a great playlist. Blue Shirt.
Yeah.
Blue Shirt's playlist.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a name, but to me, he's Blue Shirt.
He'll always be Blue Shirt. DJ Blue Shirt. No, it was just great. It was so much fun, and the people there were so welcoming. The beers were phenomenal. We got to meet and hear their story, which we'll hear a little bit here in a second. And again, one of those just kind of cool stories of people, you know, family run. I think everybody, it seemed like everybody in the family had a role at the place, you know, and it was just neat. It was really neat to see.
So let's hear a little bit about Laga Vista Brewing. It's eclipse day. It happened.
Yeah, we made it. We made it, survived the whole week, actually, which is a good accomplishment in and of itself.
It was a lot of beer. A
lot of beer.
But a lot of really good beer and a lot of good people, as promised, as billed.
Exactly.
And we've landed at Laga Vista Brewing Company, right in the path of totality. And we're here with Dylan and Mark, the owners of Laga Vista. Thank you for having us.
No problem. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for coming and checking out the brewery.
The hospitality was not undersold either.
100%. So, but yeah, great spot, great location.
Beautiful brewery.
Thank you.
How long have you been at this facility? Is this the original?
Yes. Yeah, this is the original. We opened, we're coming up on a year.
In June.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful with the grounds and the indoor part of the brewery.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, everything that looks pretty is Mark's wife. It's not us.
So definitely wasn't
everything
us.
In the back is what we do. If it looks pretty, it's her.
From what I've read, the Knight in Shining Armor, is this the one that said made this happen with a home brewing kit?
Yeah. I mean, I was doing that. I was teaching at the time, just kind of wanted a hobby. Did that, and then I was teaching in Marble Falls. I got a job part-time at Save the World Brewing Company that just kind of turned into a assistant brewer position. Worked there for a little while. And back then, they were just doing Belgian beers, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a head brewing job at Pecan Street in Johnson City. Worked there for about 5 years and went back, was the head brewer at Save the World, and here we are. Open this up. Yeah.
We're going to hear about that part, but first let's taste a beer.
All right, what are
you starting us with?
All right. So the first one on your left is going to be our Bronco Blonde Ale.
Well,
it's kind of, cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
So this is kind of our turned into our flagship beer. Well, I mean, you
nice
know,
and malty.
If you're not from Texas or the Hill Country, you know, it gets really, really hot here.
Right.
So most people just want, you know, good, clean, easy drinking beers.
It's
so,
got a nice
know.
Malt bill, though.
No, it does.
Oh, for sure.
Good flavor profile.
I mean, there's barely like any hops in it, so there's not much in the way of like bitterness to kind of balance that malty sweetness. So
it's delicious.
Yeah, it's pretty much just Pilsner malt. And as a matter of fact, it's from a company called Tex Malt. So all the barley is grown and malted in Texas, which is pretty unique. It's, you know, it's not the greatest climate for, you know, the best barley, but
for this beer,
they're doing it. No, they're doing it really well. Cause you know, I mean, I can't really tell, you know, there's a slight difference in terms of it's a little more grassy, but, in terms of comparing it to like Weirmann Pilsner, it's pretty good.
So you're working, you worked your way up to head brewer, but you guys knew each other before then or how did that start?
Yeah. We, Mark and I met in college. We both went to Texas A&M. He was a year older than me, so we kind of just stayed friends through college and after college, and we both ended up moving to DFW, so right after college, and then you didn't stay there very long.
No.
You know, just like a year, so I was there for about seven.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, Mark got into brewing, so we just started playing with homebrewing kits, and then he moved, and we both kept playing with homebrewing kits, and he went and did it professionally at several different breweries, and I was still working in Fort Worth, and he called me like six or seven years ago and was like, hey, I want to start my own brewery, are you in? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I drove down here on the weekends for 7 years until we finally broke ground, and then I moved myself and my wife here. So yeah,
it's been a journey.
Yeah.
And what? How did you land right here? I mean, this is a prime spot. Was that just fell in your lap, or
it,
you took
it
some
did?
Hunting?
I mean, my wife and I, we've lived since we moved from Dallas. We live out in the country towards Marble Falls, and this is just kind of our community. This is, and we saw all the growth that's happening. Because I mean, I don't know if y'all know anything about the demographics here, but you know, a ton of people from California, the West Coast are moving to Austin. And we just saw the town, you know, double, triple in population. We were like, okay,
yeah, they're gonna if we're gonna
open a brewery, now's the time.
You saw it skyrocket during COVID with a lot of people that worked in Austin. They were able to work from home. So they moved themselves and their families outside of town. So we've seen a lot of growth here in the last few years.
And you guys are kind of the, you talk about community, how what's the community response been?
Oh, I mean, overwhelmingly positive. Yeah. I mean, it's been great. And there's the commercial side of things in Lago, just it hasn't caught up to the population growth. So just anything that's, you know, kind of fun and something to do. Right. Everyone's really on board with that. So
tell me about beer number two.
All right. Beer number two. So this should be our Vista IPA. So this is the primary hop in this is actually Vista, which is pretty nice. I mean, we back off of our bittering hops quite a bit.
Thank you.
Actually, it's a very super drinkable. The term, it's an approachable IPA, right? It's not going to, actually, we kind of use the term, but there are gateway beers, right? So someone says, I don't like IPA, so you give them this one, and they're going to go, actually, I kind of like that. I like that little bit of bitterness. What is that?
And, you know? Yeah, no, and that's exactly, you know, how we, you know, formed the recipe for this one is, while we do have a lot of Californians here, you know, this town was a retirement community before. So, you know, you got a lot of older folks that come in and say, you know, I've been drinking Coors Light all my life.
Like Bud Light.
Yeah. And, you know, you give them something like this, it's not a, you know, it's not a hot bomb.
No.
And, you know, it's more approachable. And then they kind of opens their eyes to,
what are some options?
I think I can do.
Possibilities. That's great. Yeah. Oh, that's very good.
Back in the day, what were Mark and Dylan drinking back in the college?
Texas
craft
A&M.
Beer or Natty Light? Where were we at?
When we were in college, it was whatever we could afford.
Yeah, that's most people's answer. We actually we'll take that question. We ask a question a lot of times of guests of what was kind of your wow beer? Was the first time you drank a beer that was like, oh, I didn't know beer could taste like that. That kind of sparked that interest. Like, what is craft beer?
Guinness Foreign Stout.
Oh, yes.
That one. Yeah. That one was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I remember that there was that craft beer bar in College Station O'Bannon's that we went to.
That was really our intro.
Yeah, and they had, like, how many beers did they have on tap?
They always had, it was 100.
100 beers. Wow.
Yeah. Some weren't on tap, though. They had the bottles.
Yeah. So they had 100 craft beers, and, like, we'd just go in and we'd try something different every time. Yeah. You know, that was very eye-opening, getting to, like, you just get to see a huge spectrum of beers, and it's a lot of fun.
Our studio is in a city called Vista, so I've had multiple Vista IPAs because everybody wants to make a Vista IPA with the Vista hops, and they're all, none of them compared to this
might be because my favorite
they try to overcome, we're gonna use Vista hops, we're using all the Vista hops.
So. It is a really good hop on that. I mean, that's the main hop in it, but it plays really, really well with, like, old school American hops. Like, if you throw in a little Cascade or Centennial, something like that, it really brightens it up. Just the extra citrus kind of balances the more like peach character with Vista. I think it really, really brings it up a notch.
So you're saying you kind of make this, you dial this down because, you know, your population, you know, your community, what they're looking for. But when you're making an IPA, you want to drink. Is it on this milder blend, or do you go full?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I really don't drink IPAs.
Oh, well, we don't drink a lot of IPAs either. And we're from San Diego, But when we have one that hit, and it's, a lot of it's because we have so many.
Right.
So when we find one that's got some, well, you always say the craft in the process.
Yeah, the craft.
Right? Some balance and some drinkability, then we get pretty excited about it.
My issue with the traditional West Coast IPA,
that doesn't usually happen.
Your tongue, you can't taste anything else after you have one, right?
Yeah,
so it's I feel like it.
Bear in mind, we're about 2 miles from Stone.
Yeah,
so they kind of set the standard.
Yeah. If you drink beers,
well,
like
they
that.
Do.
Yeah, so
I mean, and it's kind of crazy, like the difference between Texas IPAs and, you know, California IPAs. So there is a difference.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, could we, you know, attempt, probably not as well as, you know, California brewers, but, you know, could we attempt to make our IPAs more like California's IPAs? Yes, we could attempt it, but
it really,
you know,
comes
our clientele,
down to the palate that's walking through the door.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, sure. You don't need it to sit and go bad.
Right. And it's 115 degrees in the summer.
You don't
I'm not going
to
be.
That.
Yeah.
No, I think your first few beers are perfect for the weather, right?
All right, we got a little color change with this next one.
All right,
a little bit more in the amber colors.
This is our Belgian saison,
saison du Lac.
Saison du Lac.
That's good too.
So,
I'll be honest with you, I'm not a huge Belgian guy, and this is the same, very approachable Belgian.
We used the DuPont yeast strain, which is a horrible yeast to work with. It really does not like to follow a brew schedule. No. It kind of does it on its own time. But the character that that yeast gives is just this great earthiness. Compared to like a French Saison strain, I think that's too lemony. But this
the
one,
clovey isn't too much. It's just letting that clove know you got a Belgian.
Yeah. No,
so,
I
that's
really
the payoff.
Like
it's a difficult strain to work with, but if you put the time into it,
it's,
get it right.
It's like the crazy ex-girlfriend. It really is. You know, you tell yourself, I am never going to go back to her. That was the worst. And then, gosh darn, she was so pretty, though.
Well, that's really good as well.
Very good. Like I said, again, very approachable, nice finish, very clean on the finish, which is good, too.
And we've had a touch of
phenolic, but not too
No, it doesn't stick with you so much.
Well, we've had a lot. So we rank a beer 1 through 5. We've had a lot of beers in that 4 to 4.25 zone because we've had a lot of great Texas beer, but not a lot of giant risk-taking, Jester King aside.
Yeah.
Like true to style, the risk you're taking with the flavors, and not really risk, but being a little bolder with your flavors, I'm appreciating today, Eclipse Day.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, I your board is pretty sweet. You have an ESB on your board. You got a Scotch Ale on your board. You don't see that at a lot of breweries. Where we live, you don't see it on anybody's. Yes. So that's kind of fun, too, to see some different styles as well.
No, and, you know, like I said, I don't really drink IPAs all that often, so you know, when I go into a brewery, and you know, we know all the guys around, but you know, sometimes you go in and there's 5 IPAs on. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'll drink it, but you know, it's just sometimes it's a little much.
Yeah. Where we go, most of the places we go to, they'll say, "Well, the IPAs pay the bills," and that's that for our areas. They pay the bills, it allows us to do these other things. But again, it's if you don't like, you know, and I think you're right. You're in a community here where probably they're not going to appreciate 5 IPAs on your board.
This is longer
that
country.
One. Yeah, 100%.
Our blonde ale is our biggest seller. Every month.
This empty glass, you mean?
I was saving mine, so I...
All right, one more. It's like we've got the colors of autumn here.
Yeah. Okay, last one. This is our German Dunkel. This one is actually probably my favorite one on the board right now. It's pretty much, it's 100% Munich 2. So there's, I mean, it's not complex. It's just straightforward Munich 2.
Tastes like Oktoberfest.
That tastes like
Oktoberfest. I get a lot of like just straight bread crust.
It's so good. It's so malty and biscuity.
It's such a good beer. This is the one I always take home.
So I think that one's my favorite right now.
Well, I think it's one of those things, if you're drinking, you know, if you're going to drink a beer at the end of the day or whatever else, one beer you want, and you're a craft brewer or whatever else, and something with just that, just some flavor to it, like some malty profile to it. It's kind of nice.
Right,
you know,
right.
This is the one if you're drinking all day, you're out on the boat or whatever else. It's 110 degrees. In
now,
a month,
when you can start early, the farther you move down that spectrum,
this is the breakfast.
It's a little tough.
There's a term, it's called porch pounder. That's what this is. This is a porch pounder. You can just sit on your porch and drink a ton of those things. So just kind of wrap it up a little bit. What's your guys' vision? What's next for Lago Vista Brewing?
Well, you know, gosh, being just, you know, a year into this whole project, you know, right now we're just hoping we continue to grow. We just started like some kind of small scale distribution.
Well, get ready, you're getting an ILB bump.
Yeah. Everyone from people from California now.
Just when you're
looking
at
let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
So you have events? I mean, there's an enormous space.
Food truck? So on like every other Saturday right now, we've got the local farmer's market that meets in our beer garden, which has been, we've only done it a couple weeks, but it's been great. Like the community
Some really
involvement.
Good vendors. I mean, they've brought some really high quality like produce and meats.
Yeah.
And
it's local ranchers, farmers.
That's fantastic, actually.
It's been pretty great. Yeah. And like I said, our community, you know, and some of the people that wouldn't normally think, let's go to a brewery.
Show up for that.
Oh, wait, no, let's go to a farmer's market. Yeah. So that's been really cool for us.
That's really cool.
What a great place.
Yeah.
Great beer,
thank you.
great guys,
yeah.
Great story.
Yeah.
Everything you want. It's right here.
Very good.
Lago Vista Brewing Company. Cheers. And
cheers.
Thank you for sharing your story, your beer, and your time with us.
Cheers
to a great trip.
Yeah, cheers to a great trip. The next
I'm
one.
Ready for the next one. Yep, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking the same thing. Listeners, thank you for spending the time with us. Remember just a moment to rate us, review us, wherever you get our podcast. Check us out on Instagram. Visit our website, ilikebeerthepodcast.com. We'd love to keep drinking, but right now, we got to run.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, Beer Run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, Beer Run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, Beer Run.